Welcome to the KNEL Radio Podcast, your podcast for news, sports, music, and talk radio. KNEL Radio Podcast is your resource to local news and sports from the heart of Texas and the Texas Hill Country. Join us weekly for Hillbilly Hits radio show highlighting traditional country music and artists. And At Home with Debbie Rule, a talk show about home, family, and relationships. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference in your life today.
Surrounding area. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, Congressman, a lot of things are happening in Washington. Things are going on. And sometimes we sit out here and wonder what the heck is happening back there. But from your standpoint, you've been busy. I noticed that you introduced another bill yesterday, sending a letter to the Secretary of Homeland Security, among other activities. So from your standpoint, what's happening?
Well, there are so many things going on. And I've said it many times before, especially at town halls that I've done and in other venues, but, you know, you kind of often wonder, is there any hope? Is there any good news? What do we have to look forward to? And I'll tell you, you know, we're right again in one of those times where I feel like, and I know that most people in the district look at this and just ask the question of why. You know, why is the border such a massive issue, and why is the administration continuing to open it up and allow the lawlessness to happen? You know, why is there an assault and a threat on so many different things here in the, you know, the domestic political scene? Why do we have Supreme Court justices that are being threatened, and we've got a Senate version of a bill that would protect those justices from any sort of threat? And by the way, they're already protected, but this would raise the stakes, and we don't have a speaker that is willing to put that on the floor. So, you know, you look at all these things, and you ask the question of why, you know, and I would say that the only thing that I'm holding on to when it comes to these questions and things like it, because there's some of them we can't explain, other than just pure political power and the need for power. So I will remind everyone that even through this conversation this morning that God's in charge. He is the authority. Anyone who holds office, who is a community leader, you know, any of these types of positions, these are temporary. We're in these temporarily, and God's in charge. And I do believe that we are going to get back to the country that we all know and love. And so I'll just kind of say that as an intro,
okay,
if you will, that sure. There's a lot of things going on.
Well, there's also lots of things that are active. I saw that you introduced a bill yesterday called Midland Over Moscow Act. What do you have in mind there?
Well, and this is something that we've been working on for quite a while, and it's. You know, it kind of gets at the heart of the oil and gas industry that is so important, and the Democrats are ignoring how important fossil fuels are. Everything that's encompassed in Midland Over Moscow does exactly that. It says we can do it better, we can do it more efficiently, we should be unleashing our own energy production, of which Brady is very much a part of, and the surrounding areas, and obviously the Permian Basin. But Midland Over Moscow is not just a fancy slogan or a catchy saying. It actually puts some teeth into getting a strategy for the United States to deal with the energy needs. I mean, we're looking at 105, 106 degree heat on Sunday. I think it was about 108, 109 in San Angelo, and very hot. That takes baseload capacity. You can't just have this pie-in-the-sky type plan. You actually need a strategy to deal with that, because when the wind stops blowing and those renewables aren't working, obviously the solar power can work when the sun's out, but at night and when the wind isn't blowing, renewable sources don't do it. And this is something that the Democrats need to come to grips with. That's what Midland Over Moscow does. It comes up with a strategy. It says, let's produce it, not just here for our domestic needs, but also for the needs of our partners and allies. And we can look at Europe, and one quick look at that conflict in Ukraine tells you everything you need to know, that energy was at the very core of that conflict. That's why it's so important for our national security that we remain strong. We're facing threats everywhere around the world. Let's not handicap ourselves needlessly on energy, and that's exactly what Democrats are doing every single day when they are worshiping the climate gods, and Midland over Moscow pushes back on that.
You also this week you sent another letter to the Secretary of Homeland Security about the releasing of illegal migrants in the San Angelo area. What's happening with that?
Well, the good news on this is that as of now, I believe that we've been able to push back in a way that there is not an imminent plan to drop off what they termed, DHS termed, as busloads of migrants. And we got word last week, mid to late week, and immediately let the residents of the Concho Valley and San Angelo know that DHS was considering a plan to drop off busloads of migrants. So in my discussions with Border Patrol agents and high-ranking Border Patrol officers, you know, we got to the core of the issue, and these officers are being put in a terrible situation. We all know that. We were seeing it with the crime, with the fentanyl, with the strain and the stress on law enforcement and schools and hospitals. But the Border Patrol agents that I talked to, and, of course, they can't say this publicly, but you know, it's a policy issue. It's the policy of the United States under Joe Biden that people believe that there's an open door, and the cartels and the traffickers are making, you know, billions of dollars on this. So, you know, we're not messing around with it. We want to get the word out there and push back. I have let all my colleagues know here in Congress that this was a plan that they were considering, and they're doing it. They're being forced. Border Patrol is being forced to do that because the administration is putting them in such a terrible situation where they have these surges and they are at capacity. The system is at a breaking point, whether it's Border Patrol or ICE or any of the law enforcement agencies or even the NGOs that try to help migrants and give them a little money. The system is completely full. It's at capacity. It's breaking, and that's the attention that we are trying to bring to this issue, and I'm going to continue to go on national news networks and talk about it because the administration is turning a blind eye to just how much damage they're doing to our local communities through the actions like these.
Well, you have been visible lately on the issues of the border, also on energy across the area. The other issues going on these days, you mentioned the Supreme Court justices, that issue. There's all the attention being focused on the January 6th incident. From your standpoint, where does that, what's happening with that?
Well, when you take January 6th and you consider the fact that the left is all too happy to talk about this on prime time, and you know, to our knowledge, in the 230-something years of committee work, this is the first time we've ever had a primetime hearing on that. Of course, before the days of television, that wouldn't be possible. But, you know, the heart of the matter is that myself and I would say 99% of Republicans, we come out unified in a message against violence. And if you are committing some sort of crime and using violence, then we are going to condemn that. And I have done that very consistently. And you don't see that from the left. They pick and choose. You know, where during the summer of violence when President Trump was still in office, when and where during that summer did you see Democrats condemning that? And you can fast forward now, right now, as we speak this week, there are protesters outside of the homes of the Supreme Court justices with the intent to intimidate them, to change the makeup of the court, to pack the court, and to change their mind on Roe v. Wade, which, you know, obviously we're awaiting that decision. It is despicable that there are actual threats that somebody flew across the country, got into Virginia with the intent of killing a Supreme Court justice, and you don't see the Speaker of the House condemn that. That is one of the most, if not the most un-American thing that I can think of, and an attack on that institution is unacceptable. And that's why you see the continued divisiveness, is because we can't deal with people like that. Those are unreasonable people. If we're going to have a conversation about any sort of issue that is hard in the United States, you have to have trust that the other party, the other side, the other person that you're sitting across the table from is reasonable. And these are the kinds of things that indicate and I think tell us everything we need to know.
You know, that's very true. And, you know, it's very disturbing, the idea that they aren't doing anything about the people who are there picketing those houses of the Supreme Court justices when it is clearly there's a law against that and not anything being done about it. It's very sort of frustrating to watch from the hinterlands. Well, Congressman, you know, you mentioned when you started that, you know, you always have hope. And I recall that in past times you always come back to that idea that there is hope and we shouldn't give up yet.
Well, that's right. And I'll just tell you, you know, kind of in closing, why I have hope. And this really is, for our area, it's so true. But, you know, recently we had an honor flight. And there's, you know, people listening right now, maybe you've been on an honor flight. Maybe you know friends and family that have been on an honor flight. And that's where, you know, whether you served in World War II, which there's not a whole lot of veterans left, and I tell you, if you know a World War II veteran, go hug their neck and tell them thank you and listen to their stories today. Please get in touch with them. Or whether you served in Korea or Vietnam or in, you know, the War on Terror, these flights take these veterans and one of their family members, bring them to Washington, D.C., and it is a massively important event, not just for the veterans who there's a lot of healing that goes on, you know, that they haven't seen these monuments that are there for them, for their service, for their families. You know, think about the Vietnam Wall where, you know, Vietnam veterans are able to for the first time maybe ever, get a sense of gratitude from their country that they did not get when they came home. And so I think the hope that I have is in listening to these families. And I talked to a family yesterday, and they said, you know, when we went last, it was 2 weeks ago that they went, he and his father got a chance to go, and he said, this is the golden strand of hope that is running through our country, because we were received in Washington, D.C. by complete strangers from around the country who told us thank you for your service. And I'll tell you, it's hard to even talk about on the radio because I get choked up thinking about just, you know, the emotion that must be going on in these families to hear the gratitude of their service that they may not have ever received. And, you know, to have a complete stranger walk up to you in a town that is not your hometown and to tell you thank you. And that's the service that we see from those service members, their families, the service that we see from our first responders, our law enforcement, you know, I look at it very similar, and I have to steal this gentleman's term that he used, you know, this golden strand of hope, because it is those people and their families. It's those who are listening right now who serve their communities, who serve our communities in a way that provides that hope, that we continue to pass down that spirit of just doing the right thing. You know, it really just comes down to doing the right thing. And we see it in our military members, and that's why I mentioned the honor flight. We see it in our first responders and medical personnel, and we see the best in our communities. Thank goodness we live where we do, because we see it, more often there, but throughout the rest of the country. This exists, and it doesn't get the headlines. It's not catchy. It may not be, you know, the headline-making story, but it is real. I have hope because of it. I think people are sick and tired of a lack of accountability, of lawlessness, and they want to get back to this American dream. That's the hope that I'm talking about. So thanks for letting me take a few minutes to tell a little bit of a long story on that, but I am hopeful for this country, and we are going to keep fighting for it, and it is worth it.
Congressman, we appreciate you and appreciate your comments very much, and we wish you good luck in your efforts there at Congress, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. I'm in D.C. Continued prayers for the work that we're doing, and it's an honor to serve and represent this great district. This is the best district in the country. We do things that nobody else can do, and I appreciate my wife and I the opportunity for our family to serve this district in a way and at a time that is very, very important. So God bless. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio Podcast, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.